Welcome to the Fantasy Football Foursome. The Foursome answer your questions about players to pick up, players to drop, weekly matchups, injury reports, and current trends in fantasy football. Now, here's the host of the Fantasy Football Foursome, John Jennings.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to Week 14, Bipocalypse number 2. It's time for the Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. The show is brought to you in part by our friends over at Giovanni's Pizza of Wilmer. And for the next hour, we're going to be talking about all things NFL and fantasy football related for Week 14. As always, our goal is to help you win your season. And if we can help you in any way, please shoot us a text on that Car Shop Inc. text line. It's 320-235-9094. Let's introduce who is on the show. How is that Loon fantasy season going? You started off, Jack.
Well, been eliminated for a couple weeks now in the Loon League. The only league where I drafted a tight end second, and I made some desperate moves based on the bench and the available players. But I still want to play spoiler, so I'm a guy who plays to the end. I still had the first pick in the waiver order, so I picked up Isaac Guerin from San Francisco, whatever his name is, just because I don't want somebody else to have him. I'm staying competitive to the end. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see if I can keep whoever gets eliminated. Hopefully it's because of me, and then I get that bragging right for a year.
Lyle.
I am officially eliminated from the Loon League this week, so this is not a great fantasy football season. But you know what? That's what happens when you put all your eggs in the Christian McCaffrey basket. And then followed up with four receivers: Chris Olave, Michael Pittman, Devonta Smith, and more from the Bears. So that wasn't the best draft. And it turns out, like, if you pretty much whiff on your first five picks, you're not going to have a very good fantasy season.
Are you eliminated, Lyle?
Yeah, it's over. It's over. The rain is over.
Yeah, but you're not, though. You're still at like 1% or whatever.
It's over, man. It's over.
Keep that hope.
Yeah, there's a 1% there. I'm tied for first in the longer hairs division. Our divisions are the headbangers and the longer hairs. I am tied for first with Carter in that division. Looks like I am going to the playoffs, although I got a couple scary scenarios on this squad right now. I got Tyreek Hill, who might be packing it in. I got Malik Nabers, who, what's the point? And he's been nursing a groin injury now for 2 years. So there's some scary stuff going on, but we'll see. So far, so good. Had David Montgomery going in the Thursday night game. So anyway, let's take a look at the injury report for this week. Not a ton of huge names on it. Gardner Minshew, I got to bring him up if you're in two quarterback leagues. Had a season-ending clavicle injury. He's out for the year. Baker Mayfield, Brandon Allen, Sam Darnold, and Tommy DeVito also showed up on it. You have to keep an eye. Yeah, I know.
What did you just say? Gardner Minshew.
Baker Mayfield.
Tommy DeVito.
Hey, it's a six-week. There's six teams on bye this week, and people are in two quarterback leagues. I have no idea who people are running out there. As far as running backs go, Breece Hall has had an interesting practice week because he hasn't been practicing. Keep an eye on that. J.K. Dobbins is on IR. Austin Eckler, concussion, short-term IR. Kareem Hunt should be in for this week. As far as wide receivers go, we've got D.K. Metcalf. Let's see. We've got Cedric Tillman is still nursing a concussion. I think he's going to be out again this week. Calvin Ridley's got an ankle injury. He should be in, though. Juju Smith-Schuster should be in, and that's about it. Keep an eye, again, on the injury report for tomorrow, who's in, who's out, as far as tight ends go. The only one of note on here with any fantasy value is Will Disley. He's got a groin injury, but he should be a go. Well, the game of the week, fellas, was, I think, Thursday night, and that was Detroit taking on Green Bay. It's not a really good slate this week, but Jack... Detroit, just still doing Detroit stuff.
Yeah, man, they looked good. You know, the thing I notice about that team is the poise. I mean, even when they get a little bit behind, they never look panicked. They never look. I mean, one time the Packers caught the defense a little bit out of place on a hurry up at the goal line, and Jacob was able to get his third touchdown. But that team just looks like they're ready. They're never scared. And, you know, one of my buddies messaged, if only the Packers had played the first half like the second half. But the response is, but then the Lions would have done even more. Yeah. I mean, they're gonna win. They're gonna get there and they're gonna win. So they do play the Bills, I believe, coming up. So that will be to me the biggest game of the year before postseason.
Lyle, the Packers jumped the Vikings in power rankings, even though they have a worse record. And I just want to talk Vikings for a second. Has there ever been less fanfare for a 10-2 Vikings team? And I know what you're going to tell me. They've let us down, and you're right about that. But we're 10-2, man. And with Sam Darnold at the helm, why are people just not seemingly caring?
I think it's mostly that, just that it is Sam Darnold and people don't believe. Although it's kind of funny, some of the talking heads now want everybody to get for the Vikings to pay Sam Darnold now. No, nobody liked him before, but now we got to pay him. Uh-huh. So, I think it's partly that. I think it's partly just because the Lions are so good, and you realize if you don't catch the Lions, you've got to win 3 road games to get to the Super Bowl. So, right now the road to the Super Bowl would be, for the Vikings, it'd be at Atlanta, probably at Philly, and at Detroit.
Yeah,
that's a pretty daunting last 2 games if you're going to win those. I mean, they would have proven to be a Super Bowl contender if they could do it. But the way Philly's playing and the way, like Jack just said about Detroit, I mean, they're pretty unstoppable right now unless they make really dumb mistakes. And Goff was starting to turn it over again last night, but then he pulled through in the second half and led them to another victory. I think that's the biggest thing is that I think the fans realize how good Detroit is this year.
Yeah. Well, Twitter conspiracy theory time. It was posted. I can't tell you whose post made or was on there, but they said that they found, you know, over the years, you've looked at the Super Bowl logo and it has red and yellow in it. I guess that means Kansas City's winning. Somebody said that they found a jacket in a, let's see, discount retailer store, brand new, still had the tags on it. And it had already had Vikings Super Bowl champion etched into it. So just letting you guys know, the NFL knows ahead of time. All right, we're going to
get your hands on that.
No, I did not. we're going to come back and talk daily fantasy news and strategy. Just kicking things off on the Fantasy Football Foursome. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome. It's time to talk daily fantasy news and strategy. Here's what you don't know. This week, we have decided to challenge ourselves in a little group on DraftKings. And so we're going to be throwing some names out there for you where we see, but they may or may not be the ones that we're putting in our own lineups. But we promise we're giving you some good information. So let's kick it off with quarterbacks, Jack. What do you got?
Yeah, so I got to do 2 lineups to throw everybody off the scent. So I've got 2 strategies, expensive RB, expensive wide receiver.
Hmm.
And my expensive RB lineups, I'm going with Will Levis. Now before you say anything.
I know, I like it.
All right, yeah, so Will Levis, you can get him for $5,000. Jacksonville coming to him, averaging 13.2 points per game right now. So he's getting you 2.5 return. He's got 16, 18, 16, and 19 in his last 4 games against Washington, Houston, Minnesota, and the Chargers. Much more difficult defenses than Jacksonville. So I like him to light this up. I think it's a guaranteed 20 points for $5,000.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. What do you got, Lyle?
Well, I think I'm going to maybe go on to his other more expensive receiver thing. I'm going to go Joe Burrow. Just because he's been lighting it up every week, $7,300 gets the Dallas Cowboy defense, who every once in a while Zimmer gets him to play all right, but they're pretty much mailing their season in too. If you're going to go for a little bit cheaper though too, I do like Jameis Winston at $5,400 as well. It's a volume play, and yeah, you got to struggle to watch him maybe throw a pick 6, but he's going to put up some numbers no matter what, even against a good Steeler defense.
Yeah, Levis and Jameis were on my list, and I think there's some real quarterback value out there, especially if you're going high wide receiver, high running back. I totally get that. I think Drew Lock is an intriguing play against a pretty rough Saints defense. I think Aiden O'Connell is an intriguing play. Am I starting any of these guys? Yeah, I might be. Tampa Bay, Aiden O'Connell goes down to Tampa Bay. And that there's a team you can pass the ball on. A mid-range tier play from me is I do like Darnold this week against Jack's Falcons. You know, if you have a little bit more money to spend. What do you got for running backs, Lyle?
Hey, John, real quick, though. I got to give you my one with the expensive wide receivers.
Sure.
That's Cooper Rush.
Oh,
Cooper
sure.
Rush, $4,900. The Bengals score a ton, but, man, they give up a ton, and he still has CeeDee Lamb.
That is so a terrible defense. Cincinnati's defense is rotten. Yep, I'm with you on that. What do you got for running backs, Lyle?
Well, I think just the chalky one has been Isaiah Garendo for the Niners, $5,400. So just make sure, like, we'll talk about him in all sorts of avenues for fantasy football, but he might be a good volume play for the week. And I'll give a second one. I actually like a little Rico Dowdle this game. Again, same reason. That Cincinnati defense is not good, and they're starting to actually give Dowdle the ball. It's not just 10 catches or 10 touches anymore. It's 20 touches. It's a volume play, and he's going to cost you $6,000, but that defense for the Bengals, like John said, is terrible.
Yep. What do you got, Jack?
Yeah, so in the expensive RB, I was able to get Barkley and Kamara in the same lineup.
Whoa, really?
My wide receivers are questionable. And I mean health wise and reception wise, but you know, but I've got volume plays in there. But if you, I like Garendo, I think he is the chalk. And I also like Chase Brown and Bucky Irving. Those are the two kind of running in good weather, high scoring offenses. Bucky Irving, if he's healthy, he's, you know, still carrying a questionable tag into Saturday. But if that guy's healthy, I think he almost becomes the chalk. He's not very expensive. And I mean, he's getting the ball 20 plus times. He's catching the ball. I mean, he is, and he's fresh legs. He hasn't played all season. I love Bucky Irving this week. If he's healthy, he's in 100%.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that either. Tony Pollard going up against Jacksonville, $6,400. That's a nice medium range if you're looking for that. Barkley and Kamara in the same lineup, Jack. Whew, boy, that's spending some money. But those two guys, unmatched volume right there. I'm in on the Garendo thing. He's untested, but he's still a 49er running back. And I don't think these guys, some of these guys are playing for they're playing for 2025. Maybe they're going to be free agents. Maybe they're hoping to get on another team as a starter. I like that with Garendo. Another guy you can take a look at is Travis Homer in Chicago. No idea who's going to be healthy in Chicago this week. That's one where you're going to have to really keep an eye on it, but that's just a volume play. I'm not saying he's a good running back or anything like that. Let's go wide receivers, Jack.
Yeah. So in the, expensive wide receivers league, I'm able to stack, Rush with Lamb, $7,300 for Lamb. Cincinnati ranks 22nd against the pass. Then I'm taking the other side of the field with T. Higgins at $6,500, averaging 19 points a game. Dallas at 20th. It's a Monday night game. Both of these teams, John, are quote-unquote not in the playoffs. Both of these teams, if they go on a run, make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a must-win on both sides. And, I mean, if Joe Burrow and the Bengals lose to the Cowboys on Monday night, I think the coach maybe gets fired. I don't know what's going to happen. But Burrow is the best player not in the playoffs. And then third, at $5,500, I can't believe this deal. I got Darnell Mooney, who's a volume monster, and the Vikes are terrible against wideouts. I don't think the Falcons are going to win the game. They're minus 5.5. But Darnell Mooney gets the ball even in garbage time. So I love Darnell Mooney at $5,500. I don't know how he's not way more expensive.
Lyle, wide receivers.
Well, to complete that Burrow stack, I'm going with Chase. I mean, I'd look at getting Higgins too, but Chase is $8,500, so he's the top receiver this week. And I'm just playing those guys because they're pretty much unstoppable at this point of the season. If you're looking for a few more mid-tier guys, I like Adam Thielen coming back from an injury last week. Yep. He looked all right. $5,300, and it's going to be a game script where Carolina, I'm guessing, is going to have to throw the ball. And Jacoby Myers, same thing. I think he's had 40 targets the last three games. So $5,600 for him as well. Get him in the lineup.
Lyle, Jacoby Myers is the number one wideout in my Kamara Barkley stack, and I think he's a game buster.
Yeah. I'm interested to report to you that the number four ranked wide receiver in the NFL right now is Jerry Jeudy, and that is all Jameis Winston, and doesn't look like Tillman's going to play. And if that's the case, Jerry Jeudy might be a bargain at $5,700. Yes, I know who they're playing. And these are all mid-range guys. I like Calvin Ridley against a lousy Jacksonville team. He's $5,700. I like the Thielen call. I going to your call about Higgins, Lyle, I fear T. Higgins is all of a sudden going to get the phantom hamstring because he hasn't got anything to play for. Cincinnati's not going to pay him, and I just worry about him being on the field. If I'm spending down for some value, maybe a Darius Slayton this week. Maybe he has to get brought up every single week. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. There's some value out there for wideouts. How about tight ends? Let's go to you, Lyle.
I'm not going to spend a lot there because I think, like we've talked already, there's a lot of high-end running backs and receivers that people are going to want to get in lineups. I'm going to skimp a little bit. I'll give you two. I'm going to T.J. Hockenson at 4,300. He's been kind of on this alternate good week, bad week. I think it's a Hockenson week for the Vikings. And Juwan Johnson, $3,400, just because New Orleans has no one to catch passes, especially if Olave is still out this week. So I like him at the low end.
Sure, sure. Tight ends, Jack.
Yeah, if you got the money, you're getting Trey McBride or Brock Bowers, John. Trey McBride had 15 targets, 12 catches, 133 yards at Seattle. Now Seattle's coming to Arizona, and Arizona also fighting, and Seattle fighting for this playoff deal. I think the Cardinals win an ugly game or maybe not a very high-scoring game, but same as Brock Bowers. You know, when they played Denver, he still teed off. I mean, these guys are getting so many targets that if you can afford one of those two, and as long as Aiden O'Connell plays, which is weird as that is to say out loud, they get one of those guys in the lineup. But if you need to save a grand, go with the good old faithful Jonnu Smith, man. I know that the rankings where it looks like the Jets are good against tight ends coming in at four. But, I mean, I don't know if you know this guy's name, but last three games, 24, 24, and 31 fantasy points out of a freaking tight end and against Green Bay and New England and then Vegas. But New England and Green Bay have good defenses. So, you know, I mean, they held Laporta to very little last night. So I think that Jonnu Smith is the bargain deal. That's as low as I'd go on tight end.
Yeah, I'm with you on McBride and Jonnu. I had them down on my list. If you got to save some money, Cade Otton. Because Vegas is poor against the tight end. If you've got to save even more money, the name is Grant Calcaterra. He's filling in for Dallas Goedert, who is out this week. Philadelphia tight end, don't expect a whole lot out of that other than a nice low salary. Hopefully he can get you the 3X or maybe even the 4X on it. But I'm with you. I don't think I'm skimping on tight end this week. I like Jonnu and certainly like Trey McBride. How about we run through defenses quick? Yeah, go ahead, Jack.
Hey, let me give you a real quick flex. For anyone looking to save a ton of money and you're down to that last $4,000, David Moore with the Panthers. The Panthers have lost their last four games by 3 points or less. And David Moore has scored points in each game. The last two games, 9 and then 20 points. He's getting 9 to 10 targets in the last two games. Bryce Young the offense is starting to throw the ball a ton more, and they're going to have to this week. So if you got to throw some money in your flex that's real cheap, go get David Moore for $4,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'll get you 5 points, and that's better than zero in the flex.
Give me a defense quick, Jack.
Buccaneers, and especially Aiden O'Connell, sick on Friday. If he practices full and he plays, I still like the Bucs, but $3,600. If Aiden O'Connell doesn't play, Buccaneers are the highest scoring defense of the week.
Lyle.
Tennessee, just because they get Mac Jones and Jacksonville. And I do like New Orleans as well. They're both about 2,800.
Return of the Mac.
Yeah, like New Orleans, yeah.
Yeah, the super low-end defense is the Bears for me against San Francisco, just because I'm not afraid of San Francisco. Otherwise, I don't mind the Vikings chasing a very immobile Kirk Cousins around in the pocket all day long. But they're $3,400. All right, we'll come back with the United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors. It's a fantasy football foursome on the Loon. We're back on the fantasy football foursome. If you miss any part of today's show, go online. It's 941theloon.com. Click on that fantasy football foursome tab or go grab that free 941 The Loon app. We put the show up in its entirety once it's completed. United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors time. A little thin, but we're going to throw out some names. There's six teams on bye. You probably already know that. So you might need quite a few plug-ins. I have talked to people whose entire bench is on bye this week. So you're trying to scrape for any points you can get. And let's start with quarterbacks. What do you got, Jack?
Well, I mean, he's available in 75% of leagues. Will Levis. He's not available in any of my leagues. In the Loon League, I think he's my starter. But, I mean, yeah, 75% available, and he's got Jacksonville traveling to him. I don't know what more you're looking for in a bye week quarterback this week. Go get him.
Lyle.
I see a couple guys. Caleb Williams is out there, available in about 55% of leagues. He's had back-to-back 25-point games and gets a San Francisco team that's pretty beat up and maybe not playing their best football. I like Levis, and I'll even throw out Derek Carr this week just because they're playing a pretty bad Giants team, and he's available in 80% of leagues.
We were talking off air, Caleb Williams, that Lyle threw out there. Caleb Williams, since the firing of Shane Waldron, is quarterback 3 right now. So I am in full agreement with that. Anthony Richardson is available in 47% of leagues. If you were making the playoffs and you need a bench stash, I like Anthony Richardson, who, of course, is not playing this week. If you need a quarterback, I like what the fellas said about Levis and Caleb, but Jameis Winston. Again, you just need to have the constitution. Maybe just shut your eyes. Maybe that's when you go clean the garage. That's when you go. I mean, the guy's going to throw the ball. You just have to deal with what happens after it leaves his hand. That's it. He's available in over 80% of leagues, facing a pretty tough Pittsburgh defense, but that's never stopped Jameis before. He's never seen a defense he didn't like to throw on. Running backs, Lyle.
Well, I think I talked about him in waiver wire, DFS, but make sure Isaiah Grando is picked up. I know he's probably available only in about 25% of leagues now, but just double check, make sure he's out there. And I think the situation with the Jets, with Breece Hall being banged up, it looks like it could be a Braylon Allen week. And he is definitely available. It looks like about 80% of league he is available. I think, again, if for some reason he is out and Allen gets a full workload, that could be very profitable for you.
Jack.
There are none, John. There are no running backs.
Yes, there are. I've got a starter on your team.
If you're south of 50%, if you're looking who's greater than 50%, I think none. I think I'm still going to beat the horse of go get Cam Akers, maybe pick you up some Ray Davis, if you've got a bench spot. Maybe even Braylon Allen. Breece Hall's not looked great. I did say to trade him about 4 or 5 weeks ago, but I think it's the week of grabbing your handcuff for backup. That's what I would do.
Yeah, Braylon Allen only owned in 20% of leagues. He should be out there in yours. My guy, and I have two, Travis Homer from Chicago. I brought him up in DFS. But the other guy who is intriguing is Sincere McCormick. And he is a running back for the Raiders. Madison dinged up. Zamir White dinged up. And when they're healthy, neither one of them are good. So this is how Zamir White got on the field for the Raiders, is the same thing that's happening with Sincere McCormick. And so there's a good chance that he might see some playing time, and to get a starting running back at this point in the season for either your playoff run or your toilet bowl run, whatever you're in, he had 8 carries, he had 35 yards, so it's over a 4 yard average, 17 for 97. He's over 5 for the season as far as his average goes. He's caught a couple passes. You can do worse than a guy like Sincere McCormick and maybe dump one of your roster cloggers or something like that. How about wide receiver? Yeah, yeah.
Was Sean Tucker with the Bucs available at all? I didn't see his name. I don't know why I didn't see it. But if Bucky Irving doesn't play, they don't like going to Rashad White every down. They might throw Tucker in.
Yeah, that's a good call. Rashad running in wet cement, White. Yeah, no, I hear you there. Let's go back to wide receivers, Jack.
Yep. Well, I mean, still available in 56% of leagues. My boy Nick Westbrook, whatever he is, all he's doing is scoring touchdowns. I mean, literally, since week 6, touchdown, 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 none, touchdown, touchdown, 2. I mean, the guy is on fire with the touchdowns. In DFS, if you're doing a prop play, John, he's a good longest reception play. Like reception longer than 25 yards? Yes. He's the guy. Him and MVS are both available. Derek Carr is going to throw it. Levis is going to throw it. I think these guys should be owned. I love Westbrook Akeem.
All right, Lyle.
Those two guys are really good in standard scoring, especially where touchdowns are premium for sure. Valdes-Scantling as well. I like Adam Thielen, especially in PPR. He's available in about 65% of leagues. As long as he's healthy, he's going to get the volume. He's been that way with the Vikings, with Carolina. Now that they're actually getting some competent quarterback play out of Bryce Young, I don't mind Adam Thielen at all.
Yeah, you guys hit the big ones. You know, Jack talked about him in daily fantasy. I mean, this is a flex play only and probably one and done. David Moore, available in 99% of leagues, but they're throwing the ball to him. And Xavier Leggett is available in 68% of leagues. So there are some names out there, but man, you got to be in a rough shape to be throwing those guys in your lineup. But I would, with a smile on my face, because I am a Jameis Winston guy, I love these MVS and Nick Westbrook-Ikhines. I think it's fun, and especially for daily fantasy, having guys like that on your team. What do you see for tight ends, Lyle?
Well, I'm going to recommend a Kansas City tight end, Noah Gray. Mm-hmm. You can pick him up. He's a touchdown-heavy player at this point. Not as much volume, but it just seems like he's a more reliable part of this offense right now. And if you're desperate for a bye week plug-in play, I think Noah Gray would be a great option. It looks like he's available in about 90% of leagues as well.
Jack?
Yeah, I think tight end is a place where there's some real depth. And I think Noah Gray is a guy that maybe even is a flex player if you're strong at tight end. So if you're throwing a dart, I still like Schoonmaker with Dallas, still available in almost every freaking league. I mean, he's only owned in 8%. So if it's tight end mandatory, Schoonmaker's a great look. But watch the questionable tags and look to the Saints with Hill being out. And the same applies to running back, the backup running back and the second or the real starting tight ends. But the second tight end, which would probably be Johnson and I think Moreau. Watch those guys. If one of them goes healthy before Sunday, they're probably going to be a target monster because they're getting everything Hill is getting. So I like the New Orleans tight ends, whichever one drops a questionable tag first.
Yeah, I'm with these guys on everything. I think Ferguson's going to play. I don't know for sure. I brought him up in the injury report, but the dismissal, Will Dissly, available in 65% of leagues, and the guy I brought up in daily fantasy is Grant Calcaterra from Philadelphia. He is available in your league, I promise you that, but you're only starting him if you're, you know, if you're trying to manage like Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely and stuff like that. He's got a very good matchup against the Panthers. I just don't know if Hurts is going to throw him the ball or if it's just going to be the Saquon show. Let's go to defenses, Jack.
Yeah, lots of good ones in my opinion. The Chargers, I know they're taking on the Chiefs this week, but they're a top five defense in almost every aspect. And I'm going to give you a dart throw if you just want to be crazy with it, if you want to risk your entire fantasy season, only because they're coming off a good game. The Falcons defense actually scored 12 fantasy points last week, holding the Los Angeles Chargers to 11 total points scored. And they're going up against Sam Darnold, who does turn the ball over a lot. So, you know, I just wanted to say the Falcons. I wouldn't actually pick them up. But when's the last time I got to talk about their defense? So.
Oh, wow. Lyle, you.
There's a couple decent ones out there. I think I got one better than Jack. Arizona, they've actually scored 11 fantasy points per game in the last four games. And this is what they finish with. They get Seattle, who's all right. New England, Carolina, and the Rams. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty good schedule coming down the road for them, for a defense that's actually playing a little bit better right now, too.
Arizona's defense has just quietly gotten better and better and better and better as the season has gone on. So, no, I totally understand that. I'm not going to give you the Falcons. I may give you the Saints, which are probably, it's about a coin toss with the Falcons. But they've got a great matchup this week as well. We're going to come back and talk Trench'em and Bench'em for the remaining games for week 14 of the NFL season. But want to remind you that pizza and football is where it's at. And you can shop locally and you can buy great pizzas from our friends over at Giovanni's Pizza in Wilmer. Go online, giovannisofwilmer.com. Look at their specialty pizzas. And, hey, maybe you want to save one for tomorrow's games or save two for tomorrow's games. They have take and bake options for all of their pizzas. It's the best pizza in town by far. So go see our friends at Giovanni's of Wilmer. Take a break from cooking. It's 235-5555. We'll be back on the Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. Final segment for the Week 14 edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. That means it's time for Trench'em and Bench'em. Thank you, NFL, for screwing everything up in the world of fantasy football with six teams on bye in Week 14, including Baltimore, Denver, Houston, Indianapolis, New England, and Washington. Yikes. Let's talk about the remaining games, though, for the week, and let's kick it off with the noon games. Jack, you've got the New York Jets taking on the Miami Dolphins.
Well, two teams where the locker rooms don't belong to anybody. On the Jets, okay, Breece Hall carrying the questionable tag into the weekend. I don't love that. Missed two consecutive practices. I didn't see Friday's report yet, so I don't know if he's in. I don't think he's somebody you need to start either way. Davante Adams in a PPR league or as a WR2 maybe. Rodgers, John, maybe in a super flex. If you got a 2QB league, maybe Rodgers. Otherwise, he's on the bench. Garrett Wilson, again, he's a WR2. Him and Adams are WR1s. They're drafted that way. They can play that way. They just haven't put up the numbers. It just is what it is. I don't like the tight end. I don't like the defense. I don't like anything else going on in this game. The only thing I like is a possible Braylon Allen sighting. So keep an eye on him if Hall stays questionable. On to the Miami side of the ball, we've got a little better prospects. I love me some Tua Tagovailoa. I know that when we look at the New York Jets defense and we hear all these names and remember all the preseason talk, but you know what? They're just not that good. Mm-hmm. They're going to turn the ball over, and Tua is better than their defense. So Tua is in the lineup. I'm trenching him. If he is healthy, I'm trenching him. I've got Achan in at running back. I've got Smith in at tight end as a tight end mandatory, maybe even a flex in a flex league and a non-tight end. Jonnu Smith has been killing it. And if Hill is out, obviously you want to look at putting Waddle into your lineup. And, you know, in DFS, touchdown only, maybe look for some OBJ if Hill sits. But otherwise, I keep OBJ on the bench. I like Miami to not only win this game, but I like Tua to have more than 300 yards and three touchdowns. Long as he finishes the game.
Miami is favored by 5.5 points. Atlanta coming to take on the purple, Lyle.
Yeah, Jack's Atlanta Falcons coming in on a high note after that lovely 4-turnover game by Kirk Cousins last week. That means you're probably, you know, keeping him on the bench. He hasn't had a touchdown pass since week 9, so it's kind of tough to, even though I think Kirk probably will have a solid game against his old, I guess, teammates for the last six years, I still don't think I can put Cousins in the lineup. You are going to be trenching Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and I think even Darnell Mooney. I think he's earned himself at least a wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 status on a weekly basis. So those are three guys to put in for sure. I'm not playing Kyle Pitts. I think he's got 12 fantasy points the last four games combined. So I think in tight end mandatory, you can do better than that. And I will give a dart throw to Ray McLeod. It's a volume thing, and I think the Viking defense is just going to be giving up quite a few passing yards in this game. As for the Vikings, I think there's four guys you got to have in the trenches this week for sure. Sammy Darnold is definitely a top 10 quarterback this week. Aaron Jones is a must start, an RB. He's probably more of an RB2 than an RB1 at this point, but keep him in the lineups. Justin Jefferson, a must start, of course. And I will put Jordan Addison in. I think the last 5 weeks you've seen a little bit more of him in the offense. He scored touchdowns in three of those five games. I think he's a safe wide receiver 3 this week. Then it gets a little dicier. TJ Hockenson, I think in a tight end mandatory or a 12-team deeper league, I think he's probably in that top 12, so I'd play him then. If you're in shallower or non-tight end mandatory, probably keep him on the bench. And I will play that Viking defense. I think they are definitely a top 5 unit for this week.
Minnesota favored by 5.5 points. I get New Orleans coming to New York to take on the Giants. There's a few starts here. I like Derek Carr this week because the Giants' defense is pretty rotten. Alvin Kamara, they are just running him right into the ground. Rumor has it that they're thinking about activating Kendre Miller And he probably should have been on this team, but Dennis Allen, the former coach of the Saints, just didn't like him. Nobody knows why this guy's on IR. So they're talking about activating him. I don't know if it has happened as we are speaking on this Saturday morning. I don't know. But nonetheless, you're still playing Alvin Kamara. He's just been rock solid for the Saints this year. Now, who's going to catch the ball for him? I wish I knew the answer. MVS has he's big play potential, and that's all he is. So if you're struggling this bye week, I think you can put Marquez Valdes-Scantling in as a flex. Then we've got Kevin Austin Jr., Cedric Wilson Jr., Juwan Johnson has taken over at tight end. I don't want any of these guys in my lineup. I don't want any part of it at all. And that's it for the Saints. As far as the Giants go, Drew Lock is an intriguing play, but only in a deep or two quarterback type of scenario. Tyrone Tracy Jr., sure, he's an RB2 or a flex. Malik Nabers, the groin injury has now sprouted its ugly head. And how much do the Giants have to play for? Not a whole lot, but Malik Nabers is a wide receiver too. And man, that's about it. Darius Slayton could possibly get you in the end zone. Wandale Robinson, he'll be in the slot for sure. Maybe Wandale is a flex too. Maybe I've talked about the Giants far too long. New Orleans favored by 3.5 points. Jack, up next, Carolina, Philadelphia.
Another barn burner. Yeah. Eagles, a 13.5 point favorite. I like Carolina plus 13.5. Start with Chuba Hubbard. He's got four touchdowns in the last four games. Didn't have a great game against Tampa Bay, 12 for 43. But he ran 153 yards against the Giants, 58 yards and a touchdown against the Chiefs. Had two touchdowns and 72 yards against the Saints, who are not an easy defense to run on. I say all that to say, unless you're in an eight-man league, I think Chuba Hubbard, regardless of the Philly defense status, is a must-start. He's an RB2 at least, just in everything else. Bryce Young in a 2QB league, I like him for sure. I think he's a sneaky DFS play. It's ugly. It's like the opposite of Jameis Winston, John. It's all small ball and ugly, not big ball and ugly. But they are still going to get you double-digit fantasy points. Adam Thielen in PPR, and that's kind of as far as I can go. I did mention David Moore in DFS because he's $4,000. You know, so if you could pay $4,000 for a guy that has a potential to get you 20 fantasy points, I think some garbage time is going to come out here in Philly. And we've all seen Philly give up a few points in the end. They're not worried about Carolina. I mean, it's a non-divisional opponent. I think Philly's going to dominate. But I think Carolina just gets some garbage time and keeps it within 13.5 towards the end. And like the Giants, we probably talked about them too long. On the Philadelphia Eagles side of the ball, you're pretty much starting them all. Get them in there. Hurts is in the trenches. Barkley, man, God, I whiffed on Barkley. Not in a single league.
Me too.
In the trenches. A.J. Brown. Devonta Smith is healthy. Looks like he's going to play. I don't know how much they're going to need these guys, but get them in there. Eagles defense is a safe start, and Calcaterra as well in tight end mandatory, only in tight end mandatory. Otherwise, they really don't need to go to them. I like the Eagles to win, but I like Carolina plus 13.5 all day.
I think they're trying to get Barkley to break the rushing record. I think he's at like 1,500 yards. He's got unbelievable numbers for fourth quarter rushing this year. Philadelphia.
He's first non-QB to potentially get that MVP. I mean,
yeah, and since AP.
That's a big deal.
Yep, yep. I have down, with FanDuel, Philadelphia favored by 12.5. Lyle, Cleveland, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, lots of starts in this one, thanks to our boy Jameis Winston, who's resurrected the fantasy lives of so many people, including Jerry Jeudy. I think we were talking off air that since Jameis has come in, Jerry Jeudy's wide receiver 3. Is that what you said, John?
Yeah, yeah, it's unbelievable what he's done.
Yeah,
against the Broncos. Good defense.
Well, he's already up to number 11 overall, too. That's the other thing. It's amazing that he could be so irrelevant for 6 weeks, and now he's suddenly up. He's a wide receiver 1, so play him that way. David Njoku in tight end mandatory, you're playing him, probably even in non-mandatory. He's just getting volume, so play Njoku. Nick Chubb, he's not what he used to be. I did get to see him play a little bit the last couple weeks. The explosion's not really there, and can you really blame him? He's had a pretty big injury to overcome, but I think he's a volume-based running back 2 or flex option. He's starting to at least find the end zone once in a while here. And I do like Elijah Moore this week because it looks like Cedric Tillman's still going to be out, and Elijah Moore's had two good fantasy outcomes since Tillman's gotten banged up, I think, in week 11. So I think you can play him as a flex option this week. And I think you could play Jameis. I think he's a top 12 guy this week. So if you had a bye week or an injury thing creep up, I definitely wouldn't feel ashamed at all putting Jameis Winston into your lineup. And as for Pittsburgh, you're definitely trenching Russell Wilson. I know that's hard to fathom at the beginning of the season. I would never have guessed that we'd be playing Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston in week 14, but that's the way it is. George Pickens, I think he's a wide receiver too. Najee Harris, probably more of a running back too, but you got to be playing him. And that's where it gets dicey. I think Jalen Warren is on the bench for me this week, unless you're really in a pinch. And same with Pat Freiermuth. I will play this Pittsburgh defense as well, though. Make sure they're in the trenches.
Pittsburgh favored in that game by 6.5 points. I've got the Raiders traveling to Tampa Bay to take on the Buccaneers, the Battle of the Pirates. Well, let's talk about the Raiders, but just briefly. Aiden O'Connell is a deep league super flex situation this week because of Tampa Bay's passing defense is just totally rotten. Who's going to be carrying the ball for Las Vegas? I don't know. Talked about that earlier. Madison's questionable. Zamir White's questionable. Amir Abdullah has gotten, he got some workload and actually made you happy last week, if you started him. But they also gave the ball to Sincere McCormick. I talked plenty about him. Probably don't need to go any further about that. Jacoby Myers quietly having a very nice season, but is carrying a questionable tag for this week. He is getting the targets. He is catching the ball. He's doing what Jacoby Myers does. I don't mind him as a flex play this week. And, of course, you are starting Brock Bowers, who has been unbelievable this season. Over to Tampa Bay, I like Mayfield. Bucky Irving is questionable this week, but if he's going out there, you got to put him on the field. Same with Mike Evans. He had a calf injury pop up, but it doesn't look like it's going to slow him down. He'll be playing this week as well. Maybe some Sterling Shepard if you've got the bye week blues. And I still like Cade Otton. He's putting up the numbers for Tampa Bay, who is favored in this game by 6.5 points. Last noon game is yours, Jack, and that is Jacksonville taking on Tennessee.
Raising eyebrows with the Jaguars, kid. Hey, when Fred Durst has your back, anything's possible. Okay. I don't know if this is the garbage toilet bowl. I don't know what this is. This is like my Loon League here. And a lot of names on my roster. So we're going to start with one. Brian Thomas Jr., he's my WR1. In your league, he's a three or a sexy flexy, and I like him there. He's fine for potential outcome in a sexy flexy in a 10 to 12 man league. Otherwise, he's on the bench. Mac Jones is on the bench. But in a super flex, a 2QB, I think he's an okay second QB to get you 12 to 16 point. I think that's the floor, and the ceiling's not much higher. ETN Jr., I don't know why you would need a running back from Jacksonville, but if you got bye week blues, then you could put him in. Otherwise, if you don't have bye week blues, he's on the bench. We're not starting him. And Evan Ingram, him either. Now, I will say this. I like Washington in DFS just because he had that quick chemistry with Jones and a couple touchdowns. So there's something to consider. That Jaguar defense is on the bench. So I have no starters in Jacksonville, just so we all heard that clearly. On the Tennessee side of the ball, looking a little better. I think Will Levis is a startable QB this week for sure. I'd put him in the trenches. I like Pollard as an RB or a bye week blue RB. Out of the receivers, I like Westbrook Akeem to certainly have the higher floor. And is probably going to be the one that gets the touchdown, but you can't ever count Calvin Ridley out. If you get bye week or if you're in a 10 to 12 man and you need, you know, wide receiver help, Ridley may even be available in your league. I like him as a WR3 sexy flexi this week. I like the Titans defense. I don't like Taji Spears. I don't like Nkunku. I mean, if he doesn't get a big player touchdown, he's out. So five starts maybe in Tennessee, and I like Tennessee to win the game.
Tennessee is favored by 3.5. This is the only game with weather. Chance of rain, but it's a high chance. It's over 50%. Late afternoon games kick off, Lyle. Seattle, Arizona.
Yeah, this will be a battle for the West lead. This will probably be, especially if Seattle would win this game, they'd be in control, I think, of the division. So a big clash and some big impact for fantasy football. I'll start with Kenneth Walker III. He's cooled off a bit. I think pretty much since Jack traded him to me in the Loon League, that's about when he started to dip. I'm going to take credit for that. But I think he's still got to play him as an RB2. He's still getting double-digit touches. So he's a volume-based play this week. Make sure you check on DK Metcalf. He's questionable with a knee injury this week. And he hasn't, at least Thursday, didn't practice. So make sure he's in your or active. But if he is active, I think you can play him as a wide receiver too. Same with Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's kind of heated up here the last 3 or 4 weeks and become a bigger part of that Seahawk offense. Despite the receivers being decent plays, I'm going to keep Geno Smith on the bench. And the same with Noah Fant. I'm going to keep those guys on my bench. Tyler Lockett as well. As for Arizona, they played pretty well against the Vikings last week. Probably deserved to win the game. Kyler Murray is a big reason for that. I think he's a must start. He's a top 12 quarterback this week. James Conner is an RB2. He's, again, cooled off a bit, but he's still a very serviceable back, and it's a volume play for him. He's getting 15 to 20 touches each and every week. And then Trey McBride, he's a PPR monster. Keep him in your lineup. Keep him in the trenches. And I will play Marvin Harrison Jr. as well. I think he's just boom or bust. And I think if just because we've got six teams on bye this week, I think I'm willing to roll the dice that Marvin Harrison can get you double-digit fantasy points this week. And I know we talked about the Arizona defense as maybe a bye week plug-in. I think I'd prefer them over the Seattle defense this week. So if you had to pick between the two, definitely go Cardinals.
I'm with you on that. Seattle has no defense, as far as I'm concerned. Arizona favored by 2.5 points. Well, finally, I get to talk about some NFL superstars. I've got Buffalo taking on the Rams. Well, Josh Allen, the favorite right now to get the NFL MVP. Him and Saquon are teetering, but Allen, of course, they always favor the quarterbacks. They touch the ball on every single play. Nonetheless, of course, you're throwing him in there with James Cook, Amari Cooper, Khalil Shakir. Don't overthink this. This is going to be a big game for Buffalo. Dalton Kincaid, who has been what I would consider to be a disappointment this year. Yuck. I think you've got better options at tight end than that. Over to the Rams. I like Stafford, but I don't like Stafford this week. But I like everybody else. Kyren Williams is getting the ball with unbelievable amounts of volume. Cooper Kupp, Nacua. And I think that's about it. Again, just don't overthink it. Play the stars. But I think you're sitting Matthew Stafford this week. And Buffalo is favored by 3.5 points. Jack, Chicago going to San Francisco, 49ers.
Yep. So finally, this is the first game you've given me this week, John, where I actually get to talk about, two teams that people at least have a fan base. Mm-hmm. So the Chicago side of the ball, well, what are we going to see out of the new coach, right? We mentioned Caleb Williams. We brought him up because since firing the offensive coordinator from before, right, he's become a tremendous quarterback here. So I've actually started him in the Loon League. I was lucky enough to pick him up. But he's got 25, 26, and 16 points in the last three games at San Fran. I think you put Caleb Williams in the trenches. I trust the guy to get fantasy points. I don't trust him to be Peyton Manning, but I trust him to get fantasy points. And the San Fran defense is the most beat-up defense in the league by far. So you can start him. DeAndre Swift, if he's healthy, is an RB2. If he's not, you brought up Homer a couple times, John, and with Roschon Johnson being questionable too. If for some reason Swift goes out, I think Homer bumps up to an RB2, maybe RB1 against a depleted Niners defense where you want to control the clock. DJ Moore, WR2, Keenan Allen, WR2, Adunze, WR2, WR3 at the best. Kmet only in tight end mandatory, and even then I don't know that I like him. The Bears defense started out the season really good. I don't think they've played very well, and I don't like any defense against Kyle Shanahan other than the Bills with 2 feet of snow. That's the only way I would start a defense against the Niners. So a few starts there in Chicago for the trenches. On to the San Fran side of the ball. I mean, to me, this is the story of it wasn't McCaffrey just on the cover of Madden? Didn't it hit again?
Yeah.
I mean, it's without fail. Why would anyone go on the cover of Madden? I would be like, no, put me on next year. You're not putting me on this year. It's not happening. Brock Purdy is projected for 20 points against Chicago. I don't see how he gets this number unless everybody decides they want to start playing football all of a sudden, because Deebo Samuel has looked beyond pedestrian. Juwan Jennings and George Kittle have been the only bright spots other than Jordan Mason, who's now out. McCaffrey's been a bust all year with health. Guerrero, you can trust him as an RB2, but only because of the volume. We don't know how he's actually going to play a whole game. He's only really had one full game, and he did get 98, I think, rushing yards or something in that game. So, you know, you can put him in the trenches if need be. But other than that, the defense, Pearsall, you're not going to any of these guys. Taylor Jr., now, if you want to do some bench stash, Garrido and Taylor Jr. You got to pick these guys up and have them on your roster. But I don't know the questionable one, John. I mean, we got Jennings, Kittle, Garrido, Samuel. The questionable one for me is Brock Purdy. I mean, I love Brock Purdy. I traded Mahomes for Brock Purdy in several leagues last year. I'm a Purdy truther. I've loved him since day one. Saw it, love him. I'm going to take full credit on seeing this dude. But I don't know how he does it against Chicago this week. And given this is the last normal week for playoff implications in fantasy teams, I don't know how you start him if you got to trust him. If 15 points will get you there, go for it. But I don't see the 20. I just don't see how he gets it.
Mm-hmm. San Francisco is favored by 3.5 points. Sunday night football, Lyle. This is the game of the week. Well, Thursday was the game of the week. This is the second game of the week. Chargers, Kansas City.
And always a good division clash, and these two teams are playing good football right now, too. So, unfortunately for the Chargers, they're not at full strength. They lost J.K. Dobbins, and that kind of affected their offense quite a bit last week against Atlanta. I'll go with Justin Herbert to start with. I don't like his chances to be a top 12 quarterback this week. They played the Chiefs in week 5, and he came up with 11 fantasy points. Just had the one touchdown. They kept him to under 200 yards. So I think I'm going to keep Herbert on the bench. And another reason for that is Ladd McConkey. He's very questionable with a knee and shoulder injury. McConkey's been great when he's playing. So if he does suit up for some reason, he is a wide receiver too. But you're really going to want to make sure, especially with a Sunday night game, to make sure that he is active just before you suit him up. I think the only other must start is Gus Edwards. And I think he's just a flex play this week for me. I don't know if he's going to get enough of the volume to be a more than that. Quentin Johnston belongs on the bench. And I don't think there's any other real, well, Will Disley, he had a goose egg last week. So I'm going to hold that against him. I think in tight end mandatory leagues, I keep him on the bench as well. For Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes has started to be a little more fantasy relevant. He's still playing good quarterback, but now he's starting to put 20 points on the board. I think he does that again this week. So keep Patrick Mahomes in your lineup. Travis Kelce is an obvious start. DeAndre Hopkins, I think he's more of a standard league scoring option than a PPR, but I think he's a wide receiver 3 with all the different bye weeks going on this week. This is where it gets dicey. I think Isaiah Pacheco is slowly going to get work back into this offense. He had 7 rushes for 44 yards last week. I could see 10 to 12 touches or something like that this week. So I think I'd play Pacheco over Kareem Hunt, who has also been having some nagging injuries. So Pacheco maybe as a flex, and I'm probably going to keep Hunt on the bench this week. And, you know, you could do worse than playing Noah Gray in a tight end mandatory league, especially if you have an injury or another need to plug in a guy. I also will play the Kansas City defense over the Charger defense if I had a choice.
Kansas City favored by 3.5, which brings us to Monday Night Football, Cincinnati taking on Dallas. Okay, what's going to happen with the Bengals? I am a believer that T. Higgins is going to shut himself down and do a Davante Adams fake hamstring situation, because I don't think the Bengals are going to pay him. I think he'll be a Charger, just side note. I think he doesn't want to risk injury. And I fear what's going on with Higgins. Now, normally we start with quarterbacks. This is a week, yes, you're going to start Joe Burrow. He's playing MVP caliber football on a team that's not going to make the playoffs, which is a shame. I think the playoffs are better with Cincinnati in there. But you're starting Joe Burrow this week. You're starting Chase Brown this week. You're starting Ja'Marr Chase this week. What to do with Higgins? You start him? Sure. Start him this week. Flex him. I just think eventually they're going to want to say, okay, we're not going to have Higgins next year. What do we have with Jermaine Burton and Andre Yosavash? You got to kind of take your life in your own hands there. And Mike Gesicki, sure, start him in 12-team mandatory tight end start leagues only. Over to Dallas. We talked about it earlier. Cooper Rush is a viable quarterback. If you're a Lamar Jackson manager or Anthony Richardson or Jaden Daniels, something like that, or you're in two quarterback leagues, he's a starter because Cincinnati's defense is so miserable. Rico Dowdle is an RB2 or a flex. CeeDee Lamb is going to probably play. He is a wide receiver something. You're going to start him for sure. And if you're desperate, maybe some Brandon Cooks. I think Ferguson is back this week. And if so, this is a wonderful matchup for him. Figure out how to get him out there. Cincinnati favored by 5.5 points, and that is going to do it for us this week. If you missed any part of today's show, grab that free 94.1 The Loon app or go online to 941theloon.com and you can stream the show on there. We always want to thank our producer, Nate Thomas, and for Jack and Lyle, my name is John Jennings. We'll see you next Saturday at 10 on The Loon for the Fantasy Football Foursome.